can in the offense as we game plan, as we get into the game. But I have total confidence in Coach Dorsett and the offensive staff.
Yeah, big news. Kevin Stefanski in his press conference saying Ken Dorsey will call the plays. Okay. Ken Dorsey, play caller. Kevin Stefanski, head coach.
Does that sound like a good band name? Kevin and the Collaboration.
The Collaboration's not a bad name.
It's a pretty good band name.
Bad.
Yeah, I like it.
I always like the name The Commitments for the band.
The Commitments. I don't know a band name. The Commitments. Do they have any songs out or no?
Yeah, don't they?
I've never heard of them. Oh, Dan looks. Well, I don't know.
It was the movie, wasn't it?
Start your game day with Earl the Pearl from 7 to 9, then catch the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterlin and Spencer German. That all starts at 9 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Then Daryl Ryder joins us for the latest. Joins us with the latest from the stadium. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show a part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. That's 92.3 The Fan, presented by our good friends at Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. And we have a new play caller. It's interesting. The play caller is a guy who, of course, played some quarterback here and was the play caller for the Buffalo Bills in 2002. And it worked. In 2002, the Buffalo Bills... Excuse me. Number two overall in yardage in the NFL, 397.6 yards per game. Number seventh in passing, 258 yards per game. Number seven in rushing, 139 yards per game. Number two in scoring, 28.4 points a game. Yet midway through the next season, you fired that offensive coordinator. His 1 year when he was the offensive coordinator play caller in Buffalo, they were dynamite. What the heck happened, Andy?
I don't know, Jeff. I don't. And how's Buffalo doing this year?
Pretty darn good.
So he's got his work cut out for him right now because the pressure's on. If he succeeds, then they all succeed. If he fails, then it seems like he's right back to where he was at the beginning of the season. Looking for a job. So the offense has to get better. Come on. They haven't put 20 on the board all season long. It has to get better. But I don't I understand that Baltimore's defense has not looked good. And please don't make this the week that they do look good. Because we've seen that too many times this season. It is interesting that you go back and it's all but two games this year have been within a touchdown, right? Is that all two? Does that sound right? Yeah.
A couple of blowouts and everything else has been somewhat tight.
So, if making a tweak makes a difference, we'll see. The gigantic mountain they would have to climb to get back in this thing is ridiculous. So there's still plenty of football to be played, but right now no one's happy.
In the year where Dorsey had the dynamite offense in Buffalo, Josh Allen, they played 16 games that season. They didn't play 17. 16 games. That was DeMar Hamlin, and that's why they lost a game. Remember that? So Josh Allen played and started all 16 games. In the backfield, he had a group of guys and some pretty solid running backs. He had Devin Singletary, he had James Cook, he had Zach Moss. Pretty nice trio of guys. You know, you didn't go nutso on any one of those guys, but you used them all, which was good. And then receiving-wise, you had Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox. Khalil Shakir was a young guy on that team. You had talent. You had talent. He knew what to do with it in 1 year. And next year, boom, he's out. That's weird to me. They changed, put Joe Brady in there, and it worked better.
Let's see what he does here. I'm actually just kind of shocked that they decided to do it this week. And I guess this is the right time to make a change. If you're going to do it, and let's see what happens.
Got to be something bigger than because you're changing the quarterback. Wouldn't that be enough change for the offense? Like, if you're looking for a different look, not that, you know, with 1-6, what are you going to do anyway? I love listening to that guy's press conferences. Jameis Winston just spoke. Menigan rolls his eyes, Volnick screaming, and Andy and I are smiling away.
Press conferences.
No. Oh. Jameis is entertaining.
Yes, he is entertaining.
Deshaun's press conferences stink. Jameis is entertaining.
I think they're just normal. Deshaun's were normal, and his are entertaining.
That might go to normal press conferences stink.
I mean, where else do you get the being in the military, being in the NFL comparisons? Where else are you going
to
get that at?
The FCC doesn't allow me to give the description I'd like to give on the air right now.
This is my best year because it's the only one that matters. Andy, sorry, I can't say that about this year. You and I are still working together.
Yeah.
I know you feel the same way.
I feel like year 17 for us, Jeff. Year 17 will be our best year. I kind of get that feeling.
Folks, maybe, this we'll is your starting dome. Quarterback for now.
Maybe we'll be in the new dome. Maybe we'll see the other.
That'd be cool. It would be cool if we were in a new dome.
You know, since they signed Jameis Winston, I've wanted to see him. I didn't want to see him at the expense of an injury to Deshaun Watson. Of course not.
Not at all.
But I honestly think Jameis would do a better job in this offense. I thought this going into the season. I thought he would be better in this offense than Deshaun, and I saw nothing from Deshaun that makes me think that that's not quite possible.
How does the offense change with Ken Dorsey then as the offensive coordinator? We haven't even asked that question. I don't know.
That I don't know. I would think not very much. Because, as Kevin says, it's collaborative. They're still going to be calling off the same play sheets. They're still running the same plays.
As long as we don't have pre-motion violations.
Well, maybe Kevin can help with that now.
Pre-snap violations? So
there we go. Penalties.
Penalties. It's all the same. Here it is. We got a one-win team, baby. What are we doing with this thing?
I don't know. Let's ask Billy in Lakewood. Hi, Billy.
Make some tweaks. Hey, Billy.
How's it going?
Hey.
So, this is, for some reason, it's clear as day to me. I know everybody's trying to figure out whose fault it is, who's to blame. I think there's one person, and it's not Stefanski. It's not Drew. It's not Barry. It's not Watson. It's not Dorsey. It's not Nick Chubb not being there. It's Jimmy Haslam. He is the person that we are backed into a corner. The whole organization is backed into a corner, and he's putting his employees, because that's what they are, they're his employees, into a situation that you can't win. By
doing what?
By lots of things here. So Stefanski was forced to play Watson. Any other coach would have pulled that quarterback out after 3 or 4 weeks of that kind of play. But he couldn't because Haslam probably told him not to, because Haslam has to cover himself so it doesn't look like it's the most idiotic contract in sports history, which it is. So Stefanski was forced, whether it was by direct instructions or just it was just the culture, we're not taking him out. And then that puts everybody, and then it puts the play calling at jeopardy too, because you're forced to play call with a quarterback that's playing subpar, and he's obviously not throwing the ball, whether it's confidence or something's going on with his arm. So you're forcing a coach to try to coach a quarterback that can't play because there's a contract that is so absurd that the owner has to see it through, and then he's putting this organization basically in jeopardy of losing 14, 15 games this season.
Billy, third year of a 5-year contract, don't you think that he had to play?
Yeah, but he should. But you can't just throw seasons out the window just so you want to cover your butt so it doesn't look like it's a bad decision. I mean, we all knew he wasn't looking good last year. And then the first 4 games, it was bad. You still got to try to salvage the season, which Haslam did not. He didn't put any effort into salvaging the season, because he would have never got rid of Joe Flacco last year. We could have a winning season right now. If Flacco was here, and if we weren't under this contract with Watson.
All right, Billy. Flacco's not here. He's not coming back. They weren't going to bring him back. Jameis Winston, I would prefer to have Jameis.
Can you imagine what it would have been like if Flacco was back? I mean,
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the boos for Deshaun would have been way worse, and people would have been screaming for Flacco from game one.
Hope I'm not wrong about James, though. I think with an opportunity, he could really show some things, and I think he's got a chance to go Geno Smith.
Let's see. I can't. I'm looking forward to this. I want to see if the offense looks better. I want to see if our quarterback looks better. I want to see if guys aren't having as many penalties. I want to see what the offensive line looks like. There are a lot of reasons to circle this week's game, especially for the offense, who's going up against a defense that they may have the opportunity to finally get over 20 points on.
Just go play carpe diem football. That's all I ask. Or if you prefer the YOLO term to be one of the kids, you can do that too. Just go play that style of football. That's all I want out of Jameis. Just whip it down the field.
Just cut it loose and let it rip.
Just cut it loose.
Yep. You mean that you want the Devo offense then? Da-na-na-na-na.
So the term was always like, again, carpe diem, seize the day. You know, live today like there's no tomorrow. Just fling it. Just throw it deep. Push the ball more than 20 yards down the field, please. With everything you mean. Because watching Watson, when they put the dome on top and he couldn't overthrow the dome, it drove me up the wall. Just throw it.
Stadium talks later, Dan. Luke is in Akron. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, how are you? How are you?
Man, we're having so much fun, you wouldn't even believe it.
Sounds like you are. Hey, so I was listening to you. I was walking at lunch, and I thought, because I think Stefanski is a great coach, and I'm thinking the only reason why this timing makes sense is because they're switching quarterbacks. It's like they have nothing to lose. He's been getting a lot of pressure to have somebody else call the plays, even though he's a great play caller. And I think they're going to give it a chance and see, you know, it's like a prototype, a chance to experiment. There's a lot of risk. And it just makes sense, like, this would be the timing to do it, because once the new quarterback, or if Watson comes back, then he can go back to play calling again, and they'll learn from it.
Luke, thank you very much. I think it's really interesting. I'm not sure about the timing of it. I think it feels funny to me. Just the fact that Deshaun is not the quarterback of this team, and so you're changing the play caller. We'll let that digest and try to figure all that out. I do think that if Kevin were still calling the plays, and for the second year in a row, a backup veteran quarterback who hadn't been anybody's starting quarterback in years went out and lights it up, I think it's damning for Deshaun Watson. Now, at the very least, you could say, okay, well, and this would, if Jameis goes out and lights it up with Ken Dorsey, then Kevin's, you know, passing the accolades around. You know?
I think so, because if they win, everybody wins in this scenario, and they don't have to. But they win, and now all of a sudden, you're like, well, why weren't they doing this in the beginning of the year? Why didn't they switch quarterbacks? When everyone was saying, why didn't you switch quarterbacks? Why didn't you do it? There's still going to be question marks. Then you get back into the, well, if Deshaun's back in 9 months, who's the quarterback next year? Because you still got 2 more years on his contract.